Well, guys, I'd love to share a key verse here today, and then I'd love to get into this message. But my key verse today is Romans chapter 15, verse 13, the Apostle Paul speaking, and he said this: I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Man, this verse is powerful. And it has meant so much to me in my personal life. I remember about 7 years ago, Ebony and I were on the Gold Coast, and we were about 22, 23, newly married, loving life. We were youth pastors and having a great time leading our young people, and we were just having a move of God in our youth ministry. It was amazing. And we were at this conference, and it was a C3 conference where pastors from all around the nation gathered in one place just to be inspired and hear God and get vision. And Ebony and I had this amazing moment this night. I'll never forget this night for good and bad reasons. But I remember that we got asked if we would get up and pray. And it was like quite intimidating. There are thousands of pastors in the room, and us up comes little 22-year-old Dan and Ebony. I hadn't hit puberty yet, so I was ready to pray, and I was pumped, man. I was so excited, and Pastor John and Danielle invited us up to pray, and I just remember it was so powerful because we just prayed over the next generation, and we were like, all these things started coming out of our mouth. We're like, wow, like we were prophesying a move of God, a revival in this next generation, that the next generation across Australia would rise up, find Christ, and get set on fire for him. And it was so powerful. It was amazing. I just remember it was just a significant moment for Ebony and I. It was a bold moment, overcoming intimidation. And so anyway, the rest of the night went on. It was fantastic. We go back to our hotel room, nothing out of the ordinary, except we were tired, and we go to sleep. And I wake up at 2 or 3 a.m., and instantly when I woke up, this thought came through my head: you are about to die. I wake up and I have such a strong pain in my chest like I had never experienced in my life. And what immediately kicks in is absolute panic. I start yelling at Ebony to wake up, to call an ambulance. I'm convincing her I'm having a heart attack. And I just absolutely go into full panic zone. And my body was literally like, my chest muscles started convulsing, and my body started having pins and needles through it. And I was just absolutely panicking and gripped with anxiety. And we called an ambulance. After about 30 minutes, it did settle down, but I went to hospital overnight and they checked me, and the heart seemed good, and it didn't seem like anything happened to my heart, but obviously out of wisdom, they wanted to check. But I went home and I just was so shocked and even a little bit traumatized by what had just happened to me. I look back now and I found out in the coming weeks that I had just experienced a panic attack or an anxiety attack. And it began a big journey for me over the next 12 months. I would have panic attacks in my sleep sporadically. I would just wake up and we'd call ambulances, and I was just having them in the middle of the night. And what would then turn into, for the first time in my life, experiencing anxiety attacks in the middle of the day. And I just went through this awful season where I started really struggling with anxiety. It hit me out of absolutely nowhere. There was no warnings before that. I was living my normal life. It was a full life. It was a big life. I was serving God. But out of nowhere, this new battle I'd never faced before like this sideswiped me. And I started facing anxiety. And I'm going to be quite raw with you, as you can already tell today. But I know this is going to help people as we go into this series of Out of the Cave. So what did a panic attack look like for me? I wish someone had told me so I would just know a little bit about it. And it's different for everybody, and I pray that you never go through one. But if you have, or if you do in the future, I just sort of help you to know what mine felt like. It for me, it would often start with pain in my chest. I'd get a very tight chest, and instantly my brain starts running outside of control. Fear takes a grip of me, and I start thinking about all these lies, how I'm about something's wrong with me physically. And as you heard, I would face the lie, you are about to die. My breathing will become very rapid and quite shallow. I start to not be able to breathe properly. Some of my worst ones I had in that season, it literally felt like my neck was closing in and I couldn't breathe. I would then start to get pins and needles through my limbs, and eventually like my whole arm or right arm or some limbs would go numb. And then eventually it would get to almost like a climax where I would just end up lying down somewhere, just uncontrollably weeping, where I would then calm down and I would just lie there until it passed. And I'd say this, and I also want you to, there's a screen behind me in the book that I'm going to refer to today. Just really quickly, you might want to take photos of this author, who's a great pastor, called Attacking Anxiety. We're going to talk about this. He wrote a panic attack survival guide. And I found this. So yeah, make sure you get the book, friend. You can buy Out of the Cave at our hospitality. These ran out of, we couldn't get enough of these, but you can just go to that QR code and get it on Audible or Kindle. Can't recommend it enough. But if we just quickly look at this panic attack survival guide, I believe it's coming up behind me. It was so helpful. So slow, yeah, that was the right one. Sorry if you don't mind going back, team. Thank you so much. Slow your breathing on purpose. So start to slow your breathing. Change your scenery. He talks about like if you're in a car, get out of the car. If you're somewhere, just change your scenery. Take your mind someplace else. And we're going to talk about today taking it to the Word of God. Stop fighting. So the funny thing about anxiety, it's like we rev ourselves up. But what we need to do is actually stop fighting the symptoms and just calm down a little bit and use your imagination. Start to picture, and for me, as I said, I connected it. Picture Jesus. Picture somebody around you loving you. I hope that helps you. And it's in the book, or you can take a photo now. But just as encouragingly, the next slide, what if a loved one is going through a panic attack? Ebony and I went on this journey together of what she did that helped and what she did that definitely didn't help, that would shoot me off the cliff even more. Be present. Be present in the moment. Don't rush on. Don't run away. Don't minimize it. Don't pretend you understand what you don't understand. And, you know, I know we try to do the right thing by saying, I understand what you're going through, but that doesn't help when someone is struggling with anxiety attacks. Create a safe and judgment-free place. Let them talk. They're going to say things they don't mean. They're going to say things that might even scare you, but just let them speak and just be a loving voice for them. Remind them, you're going to get through this. God is with you. My wife is so good at this, that you're going to get through this. You've been here before. You're going to overcome. Remind them and keep showing up. Be a constant in their life, that you love them no matter what they're going through, no matter where they are. And I hope that's helpful. That was in the book. But I remember for me, as I said, this started a season in my life, a new battle I'd never faced before. And if I'm honest with you guys, and I hope this brings hope to anyone here struggling with anxiety, I felt absolutely terrified about what was going on. I remember feeling very overwhelmed, very anxious. I was anxious about being anxious. I felt trapped. I felt like a failure. I felt hopeless. It sucked the joy out of life for me for a season. It put pressure on my marriage. It made my walk with Jesus really confusing. And I say all this to say, friend, that if you're going through anxiety, or I pray you don't, but if you face it in the future, it is so real what you're experiencing, but there is hope for a way through. And I share my story here today. I've had two bouts with anxiety, what I would call where it led to panic attacks in a season in my life. And two significant seasons where it really reared its ugly head, and it was something I had to face and overcome. And being real and honest with you, anxiety is just a battle I face. It's a chink in my armor, and we all will have chinks in our armor. And for me, from childhood to adulthood, this is one of my chinks. But what I'm so grateful to God for is I look back today and I have great victories in my past of overcoming anxiety. And I've learned some things along the way that my prayer is today, as I'm real, that it's going to help you. As we look to the Bible, it's going to help you. And just to encourage you, am I now perfect? Do I now never face anxiety? Am I now like, absolutely not. I am still struggle with it every now and then. However, I can confidently say that it does no longer have a grip on my life. And through Christ, I've broken through. And I'm honored today to share my story. But the key thought of the book, it's called Attacking Anxiety. And such a theme we read out through the scripture and something I learned in my life, friend, is that I had to fight back. We have to fight back. And we cannot just deal with anxiety and depression in our life. We have to attack anxiety and depression in our life. And I'm going to share some thoughts around this, but the win here is it's not our battle. I'm not saying we got to fight back by ourselves, but what we have to do is partner with God and His strength. It's about God's strength. So if you are struggling with anxiety right now in your life, I want you to know I have deep empathy for what you're feeling and what you're going through today. It is real. And as I shared earlier, I have been there. I'm not pretending to know. I know what it can do to us. But I want to, my prayer for you today is that there is hope that you can get through this. That scripture is so powerful. I pray that God, the source of hope. So if we need hope in our life, we shouldn't turn to anything else except to God. He is the God of hope. He is the God who is the source of hope. And He will fill you completely with joy and peace. Man, I love that. What's the opposite of depression and anxiety? It is joy and peace. And God promises, as we connect with Him in the Holy Spirit, that He will fill us with joy and peace. And that means we can overcome. Because it is not God's plan or God's will for your life or my life to struggle with depression and anxiety. It is not God's plan for our life. His plan is that we would live a life of joy, peace, and hope. So as we lean into this, as Pastor John mentioned last week, it's very important you know I'm not a psychologist and I'm not a counselor, okay? I'm a pastor. And so we're just sharing principles out of the Word of God in our own life. There is no one-size-fits-all answer to anxiety or depression. But my prayer is today that there will be some tools and resources that will come alongside you and help you. I do, once again, I just highly recommend this book. I read it when I was facing anxiety and I read it in the last month to prepare for this. It is a brilliant book from a pastor who, from panicked and depressed to alive and free. Can't recommend it enough. And of course, if you are really struggling today, we so encourage, go see a professional. Go see a great Christian psychologist or counselor or your doctor. That's been part of my journey, as you're going to hear. John 10:10 says this. The thief comes, talking about, when Jesus said this, he was talking about the devil and demonic spirits, okay? There's a good side and a bad side. And we know here that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. So that is the enemy's plan for your life and my life. He's trying at all times, relentlessly, to steal, kill, and destroy our joy and peace. But there is good news. It doesn't stop there. There's a semicolon. And in Jesus said, I have come. Everyone say, thank you, Jesus. I have come that they may have life and life to the full. Man, I love this because when we're facing anxiety, it's a vulnerable time where lies just go crazy in our head. Lies were going absolutely crazy in my head. But I want to share, before I get into this, three quick truths. Are you ready? This is going to help you. If you're struggling right now with anxiety, truth number one, you are not crazy. You're not crazy. We are all broken as humans. Whether you're a Christian or not, we are all broken. We all have pain and challenges. And for some, our story, for whatever reason, we might not even ever know that part of our challenge in life will be facing anxiety or facing depression or other mental health challenges. But the truth is this, there is nothing wrong with you if you are. And when I was going through, I had to remind myself there's nothing wrong with me. I am not crazy. I remember being so scared in the middle of it that there was something wrong with me. I remember thinking, I must be the only one who goes through this. I must be the only one, and this is going to last for the rest of my life. That is an absolute lie. And if you're struggling today, friend, you are not crazy. You are just a human who is broken, like we all are, but Jesus brings healing. Number two truth is you are not alone. Say, I am not alone. You are not alone. I hope as I share part of even my story, it'll encourage you that you're not alone in your battle, friend. The enemy would love us to feel like we're the only one who struggles, that he'd love us to feel ashamed of this challenge, to feel isolated and to lose hope, but it's an absolute lie. Even just looking at statistics from the Australian Bureaucracy of Statistics, that 42.9% of people in Australia between 16 and 85 years have experienced a mental disorder at some time in their life. That is so close to 50%. In the last 12 months alone in Australia, 17% of Australians experienced an anxiety disorder. The trend is unfortunately getting higher and higher, the statistics tell us. And if I'm honest, what I've observed is the reality is that the statistics outside the church are often quite correlated to the statistics within the church. That all of us in this room will probably either face anxiety or have a loved one or someone we care about who will in their life. But the good news is this, even though that's sad and we need to change that, it also means if you are struggling, you are so not alone. In fact, not just with other humans, look in the Bible, humans of old, we see that Elijah, as we learned last week, suffered with depression and suicidal thoughts. I love how real the Bible is. Moses struggled with anxiety to a severe level and burnout. David struggled with depression and anxiety consistently. And you see it in the Psalms, he's crying out to God for healing in his soul. Paul said in the New Testament, he was so overwhelmed by life that he despised of life itself. And Jesus himself, the Son of God, when he was a human in the Garden of Gethsemane, it said his soul was sorrowful even to the point of death. You are not alone. And my last truth here, you are not crazy, you are not alone, and it will end. This is a season. It will not last forever. As I shared earlier, I remember feeling so overwhelmed by this thought, by this lie that I'm always going to be like this. I just had no hope for the future. I'm never going to be able to break out of this. But that is so not true. It is a season in your life. And if you're feeling hopeless about the future, can I tell you the God of hope is going to fill you today. You're going to shift that perspective and get a fresh vision. I will break through. Amen? So no matter who you are today, what you're facing, this will not last forever. It will not last forever. I've been there, friend. It will not last forever. You're going to get through this in Jesus' name. So turn to somebody today. I know it's a bit of a deeper topic. Say, this is really going to help you. This is going to help you. This is going to help you. And I know it's not a sermon where I'm going to be getting lots of amen, like that's totally okay. But I'm glad we're part of a church that talks about this and gets a biblical perspective so that we can all live free and healed in Jesus' name. So I'm going to share four quick thoughts of what helped me in my journey. Now, these are also amplified in the book. There are so many more I could have shared, so this isn't a list in of itself, but just four real keys that really helped me get freedom and healing from anxiety in that season. My first thought is this, bring it into the light. Bring it into the light. So you heard earlier, I came home from conference quite rattled, a little bit embarrassed because everyone knew I ended up in hospital. I didn't quite know what to say to my parents and to our team and our friends, but I needed to bring this into the light, what I was going through. And I remember being so scared to do this, just being real. I was so scared of what other people would think about me. Would they see me as a failure? Would they see me as weak? Would they look at me differently now? Is it okay to be a Christian and struggle with this, let alone a pastor and struggle with this? And I look back and the truth is I felt ashamed and that stopped me from bringing it into the light for a long time. But I took some brave steps and I believe out of today, some people are going to take some brave steps. I remember having some conversations with my beautiful wife. Oh, I don't even want to think about that now. I'll cry. But, you know, letting her into my struggles, fears and thoughts. Oh, sorry. And she was such a wonderful wife who just loved me no matter what I was going through. And that was there to support me, even though I was so scared. And we became a team to fight this together. Whew, I remember letting my pastors in, letting Pastor John and Dan into my world and letting know what was going on and my spiritual leaders. I remember seeing a Christian psychologist and eventually a Christian counselor and getting some help, which I cannot recommend enough. I don't know one pastor, just to encourage you, that I don't know one pastor who's doing great things who hasn't seen a psychologist themselves. So if you're still here, which is okay, but if you're here going, it's not okay to see a psychologist or a counselor, or there's nothing wrong with me, can I encourage you? It was such a game changer for me. Let's break that stigma. I go to the gym and get a personal trainer because I need help getting fit. But then why would I then go, oh, well, with all these weird emotions and soul challenges, I don't need any help there. Yeah. It's okay. And maybe out of today, some of us need to go see a great Christian counselor. I started telling my friends and my family and praying with others. And I went on a journey of learning how to be vulnerable. Oh, don't you love that word? The V word. It's like a swear word, isn't it? Vulnerability. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 and 10 says this, friend. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help, but someone who falls alone is in real trouble. When it comes to overcoming anxiety and depression, no matter how strong you or I are, we will not be able to overcome it completely alone. We need to bring it into the light. We need to do this journey with a few safe and trusted people, which I'm going to talk about. But the devil wants nothing more than to isolate us and keep it in the dark. There might be someone here who has been struggling and you haven't even told a soul yet. It's in the dark, and that's where negative things thrive and grow. But God wants us to bring it into the light and in fellowship with others. We can only get healing to the level of vulnerability we are willing to go. I'm going to say that again. We can only get healing to the level of vulnerability we are willing to go. So what we need to do is enlist the right people. And as I said, a big blanket statement, we need to use wisdom. I'm not saying after this, go text 20 people what you're going through and your deepest fears. But what I am saying is we need to enlist the right people that God's placed around us to be in the army to help us break through. And I've got 5 categories. Number 1 is family. If you're married, the first person we need to share this with is our spouse. If you're, if your parents and brothers and sisters, family are such a powerful support network of people who will love us no matter what. Category number 2 are friends. Who are those 1 to 2 friends who just have your back, who love you no matter what? And I can't encourage you enough to enlist them. Number 3 is church. Man, the church is a hospital, people. It's not where perfect people gather and going, oh, I'm perfect now. If that's you, it's probably the wrong church, because, hey, the truth is this, we're all broken. We all need each other. And that's why we're so passionate about connect groups. That's why if you go to a group, you have a group leader who commits to pray for you every day. We need to let people in from our church family. Number 4 category is a doctor. If you have a doctor, just to let them know what you're facing and just get some wisdom from them. And lastly, as I shared, is a counselor or psychologist. I personally recommend a Christian counselor and a Christian psychologist, but that doesn't have to be the case. Let them know what is happening. And here are 4 things we can ask them. Can I call you when it gets really bad? Or with Ebony, can I talk to you when this gets really bad? Can you pray for me? What a great thing to ask one of these people. Can you pray for me, please? Would you ask me how I'm going occasionally? Just can you check in? Ask me how my soul is. Ask me the hard questions. It's so helpful. Get people fighting alongside you. Who do you need to have a vulnerable conversation with this week? Out of today, I feel for all of us, what's one step of who we can talk to? Amen. Number 2, so that was bring it into the light. Number 2 is facing what is underneath the anxiety. Face it. What I have learned in my own life, this might not be true of everyone, but generally, I imagine anxiety like it's a big rock, for example, in my emotions. And at the end of the day, anxiety is an emotion. We can't control our emotions. We can control our thoughts. But what a great question to ask is, and I've learned to ask, is what is underneath the rock of anxiety? The Bible teaches us to protect our heart with all diligence, for out of it will flow all the issues of our life. And so in my journey, I have learned anxiety is a symptom of something else going on deeper within my heart, within my soul. Anxiety is a warning alarm for me that something is not well within my soul. And I've learned to explore with the Holy Spirit, where is this coming from in me? What's underneath this rock? What is going on the inside of my soul? And I've learned just to have the maturity when I'm facing anxiety now. I still have those days and weeks, as I said, but I will stop and go, where is this coming from in me? And rather than attacking the physical symptoms or whatever of anxiety, I can then bring God into what's really going on in my heart. Our emotions follow our thoughts, and having others in our life can help us in this. I remember for me, in the season I'm sharing about, I was sitting across from my Christian psychologist. He's a great doctor, and he was just asking me these questions, and he was so annoying. I don't know if you've met a good psychologist. They're so helpful, but man, they're annoying because they just keep asking follow-up questions. Why do you think that? Where's that coming from? What happened in your child? Like, he was digging deep into my soul. And I remember I had this moment where the lights just came on, and it was amazing. I was sitting there, and he's asking me this question, and what came up is so much of my anxiety in that season was stemming from a very deep fear of rejection, a feeling of not being good enough, a tendency to put so much pressure on myself out of a place of needing approval of others and life to be perfect. Now, would I have discovered that by myself? The truth is, friend, probably not. This is the value of having great psychologists and counselors and pastors. But I got to tell you, that shifted everything for me, because now I actually knew where I needed to invite God into to bring true freedom and healing. I could have kept trying just to manage the anxiety, but what God was inviting me into is something deeper of what's really going on in my heart. Isaiah 61 verse 1 says this. Now, when you start a new job, you get a PD, right? You get a position description. Jesus, in Luke, he was in a church setting just like this, and he pulled out this scroll we're about to read, and he read his role description. This is what Jesus does in our life. It says this: the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. So Jesus always brings good news. He has sent me to comfort. Another translation there says heal the brokenhearted, and to proclaim captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. So when we invite Jesus into our world, he doesn't just bring salvation. It's not just that first part of the scripture that is the good news of salvation. But as we grow in our walk with Christ, we will find he also wants to bring healing into our broken hearts. He wants to bring freedom to where we are bound. This is who Jesus is. He wants to bring healing to our pain and freedom to our brokenness, to help us go on that lifelong journey of becoming more like Jesus and more whole. And I went on that journey. I needed to discover what was going on underneath the surface. And that began the journey of me finding true freedom and healing. Not just discovering it, but inviting him in. The same psychologist said this to me: the only way you will get out of it is to go into it. Ooh, like sometimes in life, there's trauma from our past. There's pain from our childhood, from a mother or father who left us or abandoned us. There's trauma from accidents that happen in life. There is deep fears and insecurities that we might not even know are there. But when the Lord highlights them to us, unfortunately, the only way we can get out of it through healing and freedom is to go into it. And we need the courage to face our inner pain, the courage to face our past hurts and traumatic moments, but not just to face it alone, but to bring the great healer in, to go, Lord, I'm facing this thing and it's so painful and challenging, but I invite you in, Jesus. For you are kind, you are good, and you're going to bring healing to my soul, healing into my heart and freedom. This is such a key. We do it with God and with the help of people. And I discover the Holy Spirit guides us and he brings us to great moments of clarity that then brings great moments of freedom. So for you, where do you need healing and freedom from in your own heart? And maybe you know, and if you don't, maybe it's worth to get someone in your world to help you. Number three, how are we doing? We're doing good? Number three is focusing on holistic health. I'm just going to touch on this one. There's so much in the book, but We were created in the image of God. God is three in one. He is one God, but he is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And just like God is three in one, you and I are three in one. We're a physical body, we have a soul, and when we come alive to Christ, we have a spirit. And so we are a physical body with a soul who has a spirit. And I have observed in my own walk that we need to face this holistically. It's not like anxiety is just a physical problem, or it's not like depression is just a spiritual problem. I have found in my life it's holistic. It's all three, and they're all intertwined and connected. And a big mistake I observed in my own life, and also as a pastor, is that we often neglect the spiritual side. And I'm not saying we don't need to face the physical or the emotional soul. We need to face all three. But I have learned this, that we cannot neglect the spiritual side. 3 John says this, 2 verse 1, dear friend, I hope all is well with you and that you are healthy in body as you are strong in spirit. I love this. This is God's desire for your life and mine, that we would have a healthy physical body, a healthy soul, and a healthy, strong spirit. That is his desire for your life and my life. And I just wanted to quickly share some rapid learns I've learned in my physical and soul health. And then we're going to finish on the spiritual. I hope this is helpful. But for me in physical health, what can really help me get healthy physically and therefore be in a better place to overcome anxiety is things like eating well. Man, crap food equals crap emotions in my life. Eating well helps me. Exercising. Honestly, this revelation, I exercise more for my emotional health than my physical health. Sleeping well, getting good quality sleep is so important. Getting outside. God did not create us to be inside all the time, but to be outside, to get the fresh breeze in our body and sunshine in our eyes. Minimizing alcohol and caffeine. Often when anxiety strikes, people turn to alcohol and caffeine, but it's doing nothing but further the anxious response and fight or flight mechanisms. You will be amazed how much in your life and my life, our physical health affects our soul health. So what are some soul keys? Having great friends. Man, not doing life alone is such a key. Talking about our challenges. I've already talked about that, but the ability to share. A healthy soul is vulnerable with the right people. Learning how to process pain. Oh man, this one's a big one. But how can I process pain? The worst thing we can do is shove it under the rug and pretend it's not there, because it will leak up. There's no doubt about it. It will come back up in even a worse way, either physically or in our soul. So for me, that looked like learning how to journal, learning how to talk to Ebony and people about pain in my life. Having hobbies, having Sabbaths, forgiving people, not comparing your life, not performing for critics. These are all big keys in our soul. But as I finish and I close, let's discuss the often neglected but arguably the most important one, and it certainly was in my life, is the spiritual side. So my fourth thought is this: fighting the battle with God. Fighting the battle with God. We are not just fighting anxiety and depression. We are fighting against a spiritual enemy. I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. It says this: for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Often every battle we face in life is not just what meets the eye, but there's something supernatural underneath it. And when it comes to anxiety and depression, I hope you're getting this spirit of faith on you that it is time to fight. There is a spiritual battle that has to be fought. And that battle starts in the presence of God. If I can fight back, it's not about my strength. I'm not saying it's about pushing through and doing it all alone. It's a spiritual battle, and that all begins in the presence of God. Worship, prayer, and the Word are our greatest weapons against anxiety and depression. Can I say that again? Even though I'm not minimizing what we talked about, physical health is important. Emotional health is important. See, they're all important. But worship, prayer, and the Word of God are the greatest weapons we have against anxiety. I want to quickly talk about two of them, and then we're going to have a moment of worship together. But worship is so powerful, friends. I'm not talking just about worship here on a Sunday morning, even though that's powerful. But when you're at home, when you're struggling to put that worship music on, to get in the quiet place, and even though I'm struggling, I just begin to sing and exalt the name of Jesus. Worship defeats depression. Worship overcomes anxiety. Worship rebuilds our confidence. And worship is a weapon that can defeat the very thing the enemy is trying to use to take us out. If we're going to overcome anxiety and depression, if we're going to be people who fight back, we need that tool and that weapon of worship. And I'm going to teach us how. Number two is prophesying the promises of God. Feelings come and go. We can be here on a Sunday and go, yeah, that's right, God's with me. But what about Wednesday when I'm struggling with anxiety? Our feelings will come and go. But the promises of God are eternal and they are so powerful. And I remember for me moments when I'd be having anxiety attacks or I could feel one coming on. My first response, I'll tell Ebony and I'm going to go into my room and I'm going to put worship music on. And I'd often just be there weeping, but just worshiping Jesus. And I had about three promises from the Bible that got me through that season. And I would speak them over myself. I would speak them out loud. I would prophesy them over my anxiety. That whenever I am afraid, God, I will put my trust in you. You told me, God, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, making your requests made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard my heart and my mind through Christ Jesus. I got promises from God. I memorized them and I would speak them. And I just want to encourage us. Why don't the band, you guys can come out, thank you. I remember for me just those moments in going to that place. So where do you start? You might be, Dan, that sounds great, but how do I pray? How do I read my Bible? What does this look like? If you're struggling right now with anxiety, this is my encouragement. 30 minutes a day, get into a room that's just where it's just you, whether that's your bedroom, your study, whatever, your closet. Put worship music on. There's actually a Spotify playlist called Attacking Anxiety. Get those musics playing and just begin to speak the promises of God. If you do that 30 minutes a day, can I tell you, you may not feel a change at the start. You might still feel anxious 15 minutes in. You might still be struggling with anxiety 2 weeks in. But if you keep going to that place of God, I worship you. I bind the enemy and I speak the promise of God. What is important is that you keep coming back to that place. And here's the mindset. If I had peace, joy, and rest in the presence of God, it would change everything. Friend, the Bible says that God is for you. And if God is for you, what could come against you? If God is for you, anxiety has no power over you. If God is for you, depression must bow its knee before Him. If God is for you, the Bible says, of whom shall I fear? And whom shall I be afraid? Because my God is with me. My God is for me, and He's going to see me through this in Jesus' name. Can we all stand to our feet here? We're going to pray for people right now. But before I shift there, can we all just close our eyes for a moment? We do this just to have a moment of privacy between you and God. I want to ask you with your eyes closed, let the Holy Spirit speak. What is one step you need to take out of today's message? What's one thing the Lord spoke to you about? Do you need to bring this into the light with your Connect Group leader or your spouse or a trusted friend in church? Do you need to face what's underneath this anxiety? Maybe go see a great Christian psychologist or counselor and begin to face the very thing you're most scared to face. Maybe for you it is around physical health or my emotional soul health. Maybe there were some keys there for you that are going to equip you to overcome this battle. Or lastly, and I know this will be it for many people, Do you need to fight this in the presence of God? Do you need to win this battle standing with Jesus in worship, standing with Jesus, speaking the word of God, standing with Jesus, casting your cares on him? So Lord, right now I ask, whatever you're speaking to us about, in the name of Jesus, would you just give us the strength and courage to take that step, to take that step of fighting back. Father, we come into agreement with your word and your will over our life, that your will is not that we would struggle with anxiety or fear or depression or hopelessness, but God, your will, God, your plan is that we would live in freedom, we would live in hope, and we would live in peace. And so I prophesy, even right now into hearts struggling, that hope would arise in the name of Jesus. Let hope arise. You are not crazy. You are not alone, and you will get through this in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Guys, I'm so close to finishing, but I just felt such a strong sense from God. We're about to enter into about 5 minutes of worship. We're going to just exalt the name of Jesus. We're going to declare how good he is. And I'm going to ask something brave but powerful. And if I was not preaching today, I would be on this altar call. But we're going to actually open the altar. We're all going to worship. We're all going to worship. But if you have any struggle with anxiety, it might be small, okay? It doesn't mean you have to be where I was, but maybe you are. But if you would like prayer for just wrestling with anxiety or depression, I'm going to open the altar, and I cannot encourage you enough. Come down the front. Be bold. Let someone pray with you. Bring it into the light. Let someone disagree with you, and things are going to shift in the name of Jesus. Is that cool? So ministry team, can you come join us down the altar? I'm so expectant for what God is going to do. But right now, why don't we all just lift our hands to God? Let's begin to pray. Let's begin to worship him. And I'm going to hand to the band. But if that's you and you would like prayer for anything that has been discussed, just begin to come down the front right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, team.